Chapter 7. Abroad. I'm sick and tired of this precious house. I am, with reason. Apostrophe, so would be, and so was, number 2. So would be, and so was, Oakham Head. So would be, and so were, skirmishers. The uncommercial took the liberty of hinting that he hardly thought it probable that any lady or gentleman in want of a likely young domestic of retiring manners would be tempted into the engagement of either of the two leading refractories on her own presentation of herself as per sample. It ain't no good being nothing else here, apostrophe said the chief. The uncommercial thought it might be worth trying. Oh no it ain't, apostrophe said the chief. Not a bit of good, apostrophe said number 2. And I'm sure I'd be very thankful to be got into a place, or got abroad, apostrophe said the chief. And so should I, apostrophe said number 2. Truly thankful, I should. Apostrophe, Oakham Head then rose, and announced as an entirely new idea, the mention of which profound novelty might be naturally expected to startle her unprepared ears, that she would be very thankful to be got into a place, or got abroad. And, as if she had then said, chorus, ladies, apostrophe, apostrophe, all the skirmishers struck up to the same purpose. We left them, thereupon, and began a long walk among the women who were simply old and infirm. But whenever, in the course of this same walk, I looked out of any high window that commanded the yard, I saw Oakham Head and all the other refractories looking out at their low window for me, and never failing to catch me, the moment I showed my head. In 10 minutes I had ceased to believe in such fables of a golden time as youth, the prime of life, or a hale old age. In 10 minutes, all the lights of womankind seemed to have been blown out, and nothing in that way, to be left this vault to brag of, but the flickering and expiring snuffs. And what was very curious, was, that these dim old women had one company notion which was the fashion of the place. Every old woman who became aware of a visitor, and was not in bed hobbled over a form into her accustomed seat, and became one of a line of dim old women confronting another line of dim old women across a narrow table. There was no obligation, whatever upon them to range themselves in this way. It was their manner of receiving. Apostrophe as a rule, they made no attempt to talk to one another, or to look at the visitor, or to look at anything, but sat silently working their mouths, like a sort of poor old cows. In some of these wards, it was good to see a few green plants, in others, an isolated refractory acting as nurse, who did well enough in that capacity, when separated from her compeers. Every one of these wards, day room, night room, or both combined, was scrupulously clean and fresh. I have seen as many such places as most travelers in my line, and I never saw one such, better kept. Among the bedridden there was great patience, great reliance on the books under the pillow, great faith in God. All cared for sympathy, but none much cared to be encouraged with hope of recovery. On the whole, I should say, it was considered rather a distinction to have a complication of disorders, and to be in a worse way than the rest. From some of the windows, the river could be seen with all its life and movement. The day was bright, but I came upon no one who was looking out. In one large ward, sitting by the fire in armchairs of distinction, like the president and vice of the good company, were two old women, upwards of 90 years of age. The younger of the two, just turned 90, was deaf, but not very, and could easily be made to hear. In her early time she had nursed a child, who was now another old woman, more infirm than herself, inhabiting the very same chamber. She perfectly understood this, when the matron told it, and, with sundry nods and motions of her forefinger, pointed out the woman in question. The elder of this pair, 93, seated before an illustrated newspaper but not reading it, was a bright-eyed old soul, really not deaf, wonderfully preserved, and amazingly conversational. She had not long lost her husband, and had been in that place little more than a year. At Boston, in the state of Massachusetts, this poor creature would have been individually addressed, would have been tended in her own room, and would have had her life gently assimilated to a comfortable life out of doors. Would that be much to do in England for a woman who has kept herself out of a workhouse more than 90 rough long years? When Britain first, at heaven's command, arose, with a great deal of allegorical confusion, from out the azure main, did her guardian angels positively forbid it in the charter which has been so much blessing? The object of my journey was accomplished when the nimble matron had no more to show me. As I shook hands with her at the gate, I told her that I thought justice had not used her very well, and that the wise men of the East were not infallible. Now, I reasoned with myself, as I made my journey home again, concerning those foul wards. They ought not to exist. No person of common decency and humanity can see them and doubt it. But what is this union to do? The necessary alteration would cost several thousands of pounds. It has already to support three workhouses. Its inhabitants work hard for their bare lives, and are already rated for the relief of the poor to the utmost extent of reasonable endurance. One poor parish in this very union is rated to the amount of 5 and 6 pence in the pound, at the very same time when the rich parish of St. George's, Hanover Square, is rated at about 7 pence in the pound, Paddington at about 4 pence, St. James, Westminster, at about 10 pence. It is only through the equalization of poor rates that what is left undone in this wise can be done. Much more is left undone, or is ill done, than I have space to suggest in these notes of a single and commercial journey. But the wise men of the East, before they can reasonably hold forth about it, must look to the North and South and West. Let them also, any morning before taking the seat of Solomon, look into the shops and dwellings all around the temple, and first ask themselves, how much more can these poor people, many of whom keep themselves with difficulty enough out of the workhouse, bear? I had yet other matter for reflection as I journeyed home, inasmuch as, before I altogether departed from the neighborhood of Mr. Baker's trap, I had knocked at the gate of the workhouse of St. George's in the East, and had found it to be an establishment highly creditable to those parts, and thoroughly well administered by a most intelligent master. I remarked in it an instance of the collateral harm that obstinate vanity and folly can do. This was the hall where those old paupers, male and female, whom I had just seen, met for the church service, was it? Yes. Did they sing the psalms to any instrument? They would like to, very much. They would have an extraordinary interest in doing so. And could none be got? Well, a piano could even have been got for nothing, but these unfortunate dissensions Better, far better, my Christian friend in the beautiful garment, to have let the singing boys alone, and left the multitude to sing for themselves. You should know better than I, but I think I have read that they did so once upon a time, and that when they had sung an hymn, someone not in a beautiful garment went up into the Mount of Olives. It made my heart ache to think of this miserable trifling in the streets of a city where every stone seemed to call to me as I walked along, turn this way, man, and see what waits to be done. So I decoyed myself into another train of thought to ease my heart. But I don't know that I did it, for I was so full of paupers that it was, after all, only a change to a single pauper who took possession of my remembrance instead of a thousand. I beg your pardon, sir, he had said, in a confidential manner, on another occasion, taking me aside. But I have seen better days. I am very sorry to hear it. Sir, I have a complaint to make against the master. Apostrophe, I have no power here, I assure you. And if I had apostrophe, but, allow me, sir, to mention it, as between yourself and a man who has seen better days, sir. The master and myself are both masons, sir, and I make him the sign continually. But, because I am in this unfortunate position, sir, he won't give me the countersign. Apostrophe, apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.